Ladies and gentlemen, the three knockdown rule on Hustler Casino is in effect. I'm Steve Kim, joined by maybe Mario Lopez. Oh, man, you caught some shrapnel. Boy, we got a lot to talk about.
Did I, though?
This.
I maybe caught some. You definitely caught some. I'll drink to that.
I want to call you collateral damage.
Salute. I know I'm catching strays hanging out with you.
Yeah,
damn.
I know. God, I need Secret Service. All right, the bout sheet for this show. Garcia, Haney, King Rai shocks the world. We have fight preview, Ask Mario, and final flurries. But we want to let you know this podcast is sponsored by Hustler Casino, located just 15 minutes from downtown L.A. During the last Monday of the month, if you play No Limit Hold'em, you're going to win a chance to play on the award-winning live streaming show Hustler Casino Live. The lucky player will be staked a $5,000 to play on the live stream. The winning player must stay through the duration of the whole stream, so stop by and play all your favorite games at Hustler Casino, or check them out online at HustlerCasino.com. And we begin round number one from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York on DAZN pay-per-view, brought to you by Golden Boy Promotions. And still, the WBC junior welterweight champion of the world is Devin Haney. But he did not win on Saturday night. Ryan Garcia pulls the monumental upset with a 12-round decision over Haney, scoring three knockdowns. Your scores, 112-112, 114-110, 115-109. Mario, last week, I basically gave him no shot. I have to eat crow. He did it. He did the damn thing, King Rai.
I don't know anyone really who picked Ryan, if I'm being honest with you, because of all the antics outside the ring. And my guy was posting constantly, and it seemed like all his time was consumed with that, not focusing on the fight or training. Let me rewind a little bit. Prior to 140, my concerns were with Haney was that he was a little too chinny. It seemed suspect because of Jojo Diaz buzzing him.
Linares
buzzing him. Loma giving him a hard
touching
time.
Touching him.
Really touching him and making him uncomfortable in there. Guys who aren't necessarily that heavy-handed of guys either. And I thought, okay, once he went to 140, he's got his ass under him now. His legs are going to be sturdy. It was about mainly the weight cut. I thought that, the momentum, and fighting higher caliber opposition, he had everything in his favor going into his fight with Garcia. I didn't, and because of the antics and what seemed to be distractions outside of the ring, it looked like it was tailor-made for Haney as a coronation, and it was his to lose. Well, boy, did he lose, because the concerns I had prior to 140 seemed to resurface really quick in the first 30 seconds of round one. What did I always say about Ryan, though? I always said that about Ryan, and I've been consistent about it. What I do respect, he comes to fight. With Tank and with any fight, he comes to fight. He's not over here with hoopla outside of the ring, and then he plays four corners, and it's a game of tag. He lets his hands go. The Mexicano comes out on him right there, and that's exactly what he did with Haney. And to his credit, was able to catch him with one of his left hooks, which is sharp, quick, and powerful, and buzzed him. And after that first round, I don't think he was ever the same, Kim. Haney, who either we overestimated with his boxing IQ or overestimated his corner as well, because I was sort of stunned as I was watching there that I couldn't tell you what his game plan was. I couldn't tell you what the strategy was going into it. The fact that you're getting caught with the same shot over and over. And it wasn't like he was setting it up. It was just jab, left hook, from the clinch, left hook. The same shot over and over. I was like stunned that he was getting touched with that. But, and again, not to take anything away from Ryan, he went in there and he brought the fight to him like he does. And like I said, in his other fights. And he was obviously well-conditioned enough to go the 12. And Haney had moments where it looked like maybe he was winning the rounds by jabbing and boxing a little here and there, but it always looked like he was walking that tightrope. And it was just a matter of time, because Ryan chose to fight in spurts, but those spurts were dangerous and were enough to buzz him, hurt him. And I thought come the seventh round, that should have been it. Haney not only had an off night, but so did Harvey Duck. My guy in there, it looked like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but man, it looked like my guy had money on him because there was three knockdowns total. It should have been five. I thought there was two other knockdowns in that seventh round. It's funny because we took numbers in a pool, and I pulled round number seven. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that should have been it. That should have been it right there. And I was pleasantly surprised that it turned out to be a fun fight. It was great for the sport. I think Ryan winning is also it good is. Because we need characters. I think he's full on embrace like this sort of, I don't want to say villainous arc, but sort of he doesn't care whether he's polarizing or not before, or as opposed to it was almost a Golden Boy-esque persona to him. Now he's sort of, I think, embraced this polarizing sort of figure. And has really shook the game and the sport by its core. And he's here as a major player in the sense. Now, at the end of the fight, we sort of saw with his post-fight interview.
We'll get into that later.
Okay. But at the end of the fight, we sort of saw with his post-fight interview coming into, he kind of his full circle moment with the antics leading up to it. Look. Do I think that a better prepared Haney may have more success against Ryan? I don't think so after watching it. I think it's just a matter of time before he gets caught. Ryan's speed, power in that left hook, even if you call it a one-trick pony with that left hook, but it's enough to get the job done.
Oh, that pony secretariat.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's what exactly it. It's enough to get the job done, and I think would get the job done again in a rematch. So a tip of the hat to Garcia for pulling it off. And I'm very curious as to see how Haney and his team will respond. But I know we'll get in more to the antics and the stuff around it later. But as far as the fight itself, it was a fun, entertaining fight. And props to him.
Here's the thing about Devin Haney. I want to call him a really good, well-schooled boxer. But he's not slick. Mm. And I think this is the difference.
Slick guys don't get hit with the same shot right. over and over.
Gervonta Davis, I think, is actually underrated in terms of his slickness because at the mid-range, he can actually catch and counter, and he could slip counter. When you watch Devin Haney in the mid-range, not only was the chin high, it was on the right side. Right side, and he didn't have the cell phone on, as they
no,
say.
No, that right hand was dropping.
That
That's
right
what I
hand, every time he jabbed, was the bow and arrow. And you got to have the discipline because Duran was great at it. He literally kept this thing above his ear. Mm-hmm. And the first round, that's the one thing that you have to think, you know what? I can't get hurt early. Okay? So after the first round, I'll say this. I thought Haney banked some rounds. So halfway through, I think, you know what? You've built the lead, but here's the problem. You don't have the eraser. And as soon as the seventh round knockdown happened, I don't think he ever had his legs.
I don't think after the first, Kim. I really don't think after the first. He felt too reluctant to want to engage. It didn't look like the same Haney that was boxing with some sort of conviction. I'm trying to understand what the game plan
was. Well, I don't think there was one, but the game plan, I think, should have been first and foremost. What does Bill Belichick about game planning for defense? Whatever your best weapon is, we make you play left-handed, as they say.
Right. And that jab should have been coming out like a piston.
And
should have been
fainting.
Yeah, fainting jab. That it should have been just firing out with like a piston, but he was pawing with it and just going to the body, and he left himself susceptible to getting those left hooks, which he ended up getting caught with.
And the other thing I thought was really interesting is that Devin Haney, this is what happens. And again, it's not a skill, it's a tactic. And he's been able to get away with it in the past. And the referee's got a really, to me, the penalties, there should have been at least one or two on Devin Haney for clinching, grabbing, and mauling. You see what happens when Haney's in the mid-range. Instead of firing back, he just lunges and he grabs at people. That's going to be very tough to deal with as you get up against bigger, stronger guys that can really punch.
And how about Harvey Duck taking a point from Ryan without even a warning?
Yeah, that, again, Harvey Duck is a referee that I think very highly of. He had a bad night.
That was a really bad night.
He had
night.
A really, really
that was
bad
a really
night.
Bad night because look at, because he took that point away. Had he not gotten that other knockdown, then I think it gets, well, it was even in one scorecard.
112-112, Max DeLuca.
So, which, by the way, look, after you knock a guy down three times.
In a 12-round fight?
Yeah.
You got to win every other round.
You have
basically,
to.
And he did not.
Right.
The other issue, again, we talked about this. Devin Haney is still the WBC junior welterweight champion. We have to talk about this.
Right.
Turnabout is fair play. Here's what I think. After last year's catch weight and rehydration clause. Ryan Garcia, in my view, hatched a plan to said, you know what? This belt is more important to Devin Haney than it is to me. And I think he admitted it on social media. I'm going to weigh in well over the weight, and I'm going to be the freshest, best version of myself. He came in at 143.2. Now, I want to point this out. For all those people that say it's only 3 pounds,
no.
You talk to any combat athlete, and you've done it.
They've never cut weight. Anybody who says that has never cut weight.
The last 3-4 pounds are excruciating.
Of course. Absolutely. It's a huge... I got to be honest with you. I think the weight issues taint the win.
A little asterisk.
The weight issues definitely taint the win. And ironically, he's still not a world champion. He has yet to get his first belt.
And we'll get into that. But I also want to point this out. From the time they had the actual weigh-in to the time they touched up the gloves, it was more than 37 hours. So being drained like you were in 1985 is not quite the same in 2024.
Still, cutting that weight, it is a factor.
But with that said, the way Ryan Garcia says that he was handicapped, you can't have it both ways. You probably pulled a fast one. You bamboozled Haney and his team. This is my theory. Devin Haney and his father were so confident against this quote-unquote C-level fighter, they thought, we can give him 30 pounds. We're just better than them. Here's the difference between the amateur fights and a pro fight. Back then, they were kids, 16-ounce gloves and headgear.
Right.
None of that exists in a professional prize fight. But I want to make this very clear because I want to be consistent. When you agree to those terms and you take the money,
it's on you.
The fight is the fight. And the result is the result, Mario.
I agree with you. I think the lack of lateral head movement and keeping that right hand down was Haney's kryptonite. The fact that he couldn't make the adjustment. Well, I'm just baffled for a fighter of that caliber.
And supposed ring intelligence.
Right. That's what was so...
We may have overestimated that. We may have been wrong.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We were wrong on this night.
Look, I think Haney right now is mentally worse off than Ryan.
There should not be an immediate rematch for Haney.
Not at all. Not at all. You touched upon the slick defensive fighter. You're right. He's not a slick in there. He's more athletic than slick.
Right, slick. There's a difference.
There is a difference.
So James Toney was slick.
Super slick.
Floyd Mayweather was slick.
Super slick.
Canelo is slick.
Very slick.
Right.
Exactly. Those are slick fighters. He's more athletic than slick, and I really think this is going to give... do a number on him.
Psychologically. Yes.
And I would not want to get into an immediate rematch. And let's talk about that immediate rematch. Is it for the belt or not? Because now Ryan's saying he can't make 140 anymore. So, look, we've always talked about belts mattering.
They do. But not for Ryan, though.
Not at the moment.
You don't?
Not at the moment.
Well, we talked about this on Saturday night after the fight. I have a theory. I think Ryan now is just going to make up his own weight class as he goes along. Because here's the thing.
A la Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.?
Kind of, sort of. Right, but here's the difference. I think he's better than him. He's more athletically gifted. But Mario, think about this. So it ended up not being $500,000 per pound. Per the contract, what was reported, that an extra $600,000 went to Devin Haney. That's a lot of money, in addition to whatever his guarantee is. These fighters are under so much pressure to fight on that day because, number one, you're not fighting next week. You may not fight for another 4 or 5 months. You know right. The way the calendar turns in boxing.
Of course.
And Mario, I was at the third fight between Castillo Corrales that never happened because Diego Corrales told Castillo, no, you're not doing that weight thing again.
Well, the second fight, remember the second fight when he
came in,
the 3 pounds.
And it made a difference.
Hell yeah, it made a difference. That's what I'm trying to tell you right there. It's just, you got to have pause in giving someone this much credit.
There's nuance to this thing.
Yeah, or even respect to anyone who literally didn't even try to make weight for the fight because, look, this is a sport where people can get seriously injured or even killed.
Right.
So if you're not going to approach it in a serious way and someone's weight drained and killing themselves literally to make the weight and you made a bargain. Then what are they? You made a deal with the devil for the money. Then you have to take what comes with those consequences.
In theory, Mario, we want a level playing field,
right.
And we want your advantage to be your skills and your tactics and your execution that night.
You made a great example with it, because I remember Castillo Corrales too. The first fight, obviously, everybody made weight. Classic.
Right.
Look at how even it was. The second fight?
Castillo's too big.
Way too big! Through. So huge. It's a huge. And we're talking about guys that only weigh 140 pounds. So 3.5 pounds is a lot.
And Mario, well, I'll never forget. So that's when me and Doug were at Max Boxing. So we're driving up there on a Friday. We started getting messages halfway through. We'd always leave on at noon. Doug would always say, I'd be there at 10:30. And being Doug time, he'd pick me up at noon. So the weigh-ins back then were about 3 o'clock, the real ones. They didn't have the ceremonials back then. We knew by the time we went to Vegas, we knew for about 2 hours there's no fight. We kind of knew what was going to happen. And I'll never forget, during the weigh-in, the dearly departed Gary Shaw, who had Corrales, and Bob Arum, who had Castillo. And there's a couple hundred people in this public weigh-in. They had to give a speech apologizing that we're going to cancel the main event. But if you want to show up, we're going to have the rest of the card on, and we're not going to charge you. There'll be full refunds. So, Mario, there was a full card that went on without the headliner at the Thomas and Mack. We were one of about 50 people.
Really?
Nobody. It was the most depressing weekend I can recall.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel Castillo, who was already world champion, had a great career leading up to that, did that deliberately to gain advantage?
In the second fight, yes.
Or he just couldn't gain, he just couldn't squeeze himself down?
I think it's both. Because
really?
Because
he was a big lightweight for a long time.
And he had a lot of issues. But right. I believe that Castillo thought he got robbed in the first fight with the spitting out of the mouthpiece. And this was his retribution. That's just my theory.
Look,
okay,
suffering those last few pounds, you can't make light of that. I know at the end of the day, everybody was going to remember
it
who
matters.
Won, but it does really matter. And, and props to Garcia. He won. And look, to me, he scored 5 knockdowns.
Yes.
Not 3. But people are always going to have this sort of conversation. And at the end of the day, there's no belt.
And I want to make this clear. It's not everything, but it's something. It mattered. And the other thing is, Mario, the numbers that this fight did and the type of casual fan that Garcia attracts, they don't know about sanctioning bodies. They don't know about weight classes. They may not care.
Right.
His whole thing is just get the victory over my amateur nemesis. And what happened last year against Tank Davis is far in the rearview mirror. Maybe that's the best $600,000 he ever spent.
Is it? Or does it just highlight Tank's win more and it makes it seem like, man,
well,
Tank
the Tank
really
fans are acting like it was a victory for them.
Can I tell you something, though, about even with the law? Look, I'm glad both young fighters decided to fight each other. And look what happens when we get great fighters fighting each other. And this is why I think a lot of people are starting to gravitate towards UFC. We've mentioned this before because of the matchups like this happen just about every week. But more importantly, one loss doesn't define the fighter.
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't define Haney. He's still a good fighter. It shouldn't define him. And that's what's great, again, about the UFC. They lose all the time, and their stock's still really high.
All it is a bad night at the office.
That's exactly it.
It does not define
you. The mentality's got to change.
But Mario, let me ask you this, though. And we had a discussion about this. I was on my way home from my buddy's house in Whittier, and you said, no, Steve. There's going to come a point where Ryan needs to fight for a legitimate belt and actually make the weight. I'm not sure about that. I think his popularity and his persona... And I told you this. I think there's 2 or 3 fighters in every generation are actually more important than the belts. Because I'm just telling you, I believe that Ryan Garcia's next event, it may clear close to 1 million buys if he faces a decent guy. I think he's reached that level.
That decent guy would be a champion, wouldn't it? That's my point. And if that champion would want to fight for the belt, right?
Okay, so let me give you...
What decent guy is not a champion in your mind?
Well, okay. So let's say he faces guy like a Rolly Romero... who's not a champion. So let me go with Pitbull Cruz. So let's say that he faces that
he
little...
He's a champion.
Okay. Let's say...
Let me ask you...
Okay, but let me give you the example.
Give me the example.
So if Pitbull Cruz, who just won the WBA belt, that little fire hydrant, and more news on him a little bit later, let's say that he says, you know what? I want to cross the street. I don't care who I'm with. I want to fight Ryan, and he's going to guarantee me a $5 to $6 million payday. Okay. And the day before the fight, they come up to Isak and they said, Isak, this guy's going to blow off the weight. Can you do 144 and we'll flip in another million? Do you think he really walks away?
Of course.
Honestly.
Not. Of
well,
course
there
not.
You go. There you go.
That's oh, so you're saying as far as with the belt, not having the belt there.
Right. See, I'm just...
No, I understand. But I don't... No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. But my point is, I don't think that can sustain.
I'm not sure.
I think it can maybe for the next couple of fights.
You have to understand.
Well, I'm trying to think of another example.
Ryan's fan base is not me, you, Dan Rayfield, and Doug Fisher. That's all I'm saying. You ever heard of Jordan's rules? These are Ryan's rules.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to think of another example where that is sustainable. And there's not. There's always champions that have to. The belts matter. They really
for
do.
For most fighters.
And I think
for most fighters.
Even a Canelo, even your most popular fighters out there, the belts do matter. And I think he himself, who.
But he said he's vacillated on this. Titles don't matter to me. He said that himself. He changes his mind every 3 months.
Well, okay. He put it like this, and he managed to use all 21 of his personalities and put them together that night to channel whatever beast he was working with to end up doing what he had to do in the ring.
And Mario, speaking, you brought up the UFC. Can I just say something about this undercard that took place? That was no UFC. I know the UFC. That was no UFC. A couple of things that happened. Charles Conwell looked really good against Nathaniel Gallimore. Very strong Golden Boy debut. David Jimenez upset Scrappy Ramirez. Just outworked him over 12 rounds. Beck the Bully.
Close fight.
He won a technical decision. And Arnold Barboza, look, it may have been early Kwanzaa. He got a bit of a gift against Sean Puffy McCone. I want to make this point. We don't need four undercards in a pay-per-view. It was a five-fight card. And I timed
unless
it out.
Unless they're going to be solid fights, UFC style.
That was no Revenge of the Rematches or Star Spangled Glory. Shout out to Don King. You spoiled this in the 90s, and I will never take you for granted again. You know what I mean? Now, Mario, I have a question, and I'm going to bring this up again. Are we better off with the pay-per-view budgets, because there are budgets, are we better off instead of going with three and four fights on the undercard, maybe just condensing it and paying for two better fights and making sure that the delays are no more than 20 minutes in between fights? Did you know the main event did not end until past 1 o'clock local time on the East Coast?
I couldn't believe that because I was talking to some East Coast friends.
I'm used to it.
We're so spoiled out here in the West Coast with the fight starting when they do, which was, by the way, it was still like 10-something.
It was.
So it wasn't exactly early, but it was still, you could still get a decent night rest out there. Forget about it. Look, to answer your question, if you had to pick, obviously you'd rather go with a couple fights that were of high quality. But why couldn't they all be? There are so few matchups. They should all be able to be high quality. There's not many slots.
The problem is the pay-per-views are always about one company. So let me give you an example of who I was with.
No, I understand that, but you can still make pretty competitive fights.
I was with two classmates, class of 90, shout out, the greatest class ever at Montebello High School. Wow. My buddy Hugo is a hardcore fan. He was kind of sort of interested, like I was. Our other buddy, Richard, he's a casual fan. He's like, okay, guys, when's the main event? This is the problem. No one pays attention to these boxing undercards. They don't.
That's a serious problem, though.
They don't. Now, the UFC cards, even me, who's kind of a casual of the casuals, I know that when I think, oh, number two against number seven, I might have to pay attention. I have no idea what's going on.
Right.
I don't know what any of these holds are. Everything to me is an arm bar. Hey, Mario, is that an arm bar? No, it's not. But I'm just saying, but I kind of know.
Entertaining, though,
that
right?
It's significant.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of thinking to myself, less is more. The main event did not kick off, and I kept track of this, till 12:18 a.m. So it was Sunday morning boxing in Brooklyn.
That's wild.
Just think about it. All right, that's it for this segment. We'll be back with more of the Three Knockdown Rule brought to you by Hustler Casino.
This podcast is sponsored by Hustler Casino, located just 15 minutes from downtown L.A. during the last Monday of the month. If you play No Limit Hold'em, you can win a chance to play on the award-winning live streaming show Hustler Casino Live. The lucky player will be staked $5,000 to play on the live stream. The winning player must stay through the duration of the whole stream. Stop by and play all your favorite games at Hustler Casino or check them out online at HustlerCasino.com.
All right, we're back on the Three Knockdown Rule brought to you by Hustler Casino. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get involved with the Three Knockdown Rule and sponsor our fine program, hey, we still have some slots available. Please reach out to us by emailing us at info@boxbid.io. Once again, that's info@boxbid.io. Boxbid.io is an online platform that is launching soon that helps public figures and professionals in the world of boxing get sponsorships. We are proudly working with boxbid.io. All right. Fight preview this Saturday from beautiful Fresno, California. Shout out to the Bulldogs. On the Zone, brought to you by Golden Boy Promotions. Junior welterweights in action. Jose Ramirez takes on Rancis Barthelemy, and then junior middleweight contender Virgil Ortiz takes on Thomas Delorme. Mario, look, our good friends at Golden Boy, they're on a roll, feeling good. I hate to be Mr. Buzzkill, but this is what I do, because I have been described as a piece of shit. Rance
That's
is
why
Barth-
people who like you.
Yeah, and, yeah, and those are people that actually like me, like yourself. You know, Rancis Barthelemy has actually not fought since May of 2023. And then Thomas Delorme, who I really like, nice guy, real gentleman. Not only has he lost three of his last four, he hasn't fought since July of 2022.
Wow.
So there's a term called, hey, this is a layup. Mario, these are dunks on the Nerf basket inside your room. Wow. Wow. Yeah,
look, I like that we're going to get to see Virgil again.
Second fight this year, which he needed.
I love that. I like that we're going to get to see Jose Ramirez. I'm happy for Golden Boy. They're on a roll right now, especially with this last fight this past weekend. They have this fight coming up. They have Munguia and Canelo. The company is in a really good place right now. They're looking really good. But yeah, do I wish the competition was a little more severe?
Stiff,
yeah,
a little
fierce? Then yes is the answer.
I will say this. If Barthelemy still has his legs, this may not be the easiest fight for Jose Ramirez. Barthelemy is one of those Cubans that when he was at his best, whatever you want to call that, he was bouncy, he was spry. And you know what's funny? He was never afraid not to get into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care what the audience thought. And I want to know what Ramirez has. Now, looking ahead here, Ramirez is kind of a tweener. He's been a very good junior welterweight, won titles. I don't really know if he's a bona fide welterweight. If Ryan Garcia needs an in-between stay busy fight, how about Ramirez against Ryan for the 143-pound championship of the world?
There was talk about them possibly fighting at one point, remember?
Yeah.
And I thought that was a fun fight. I thought that was a good fight. I think that would be a great fight. Look, he himself said he can't make 140 anymore. So if you can't make 140, you can't make 140.
Can't make
He's booked, you can't make it. Well, then we're looking at welterweight, right? Unless this mythical weight that he wants to make up that you say
the
he's
Ryan weight,
do, which was the Chavez Jr. weight for a while. But like I said, those things don't last.
Yeah.
Those things don't last because champions want to fight at their weight. I do like that Ramirez fight. If that were to come to fruition, let's see how he looks this Saturday, and should he look good and prove victorious, then that I think that's a strong possibility.
As for Virgil Ortiz, this is his second fight in 4 months.
Love that.
You know what? I'm glad he's getting it back. My understanding is he's in line for some sort of major fight at 54. Mm. Just look, and I know his last fight against Frederick Lawson lasted about 14 seconds. I'm just glad that there was some activity. Get right back into the gym at the RGBA. We'll see what he has. Thomas Delorme at one point was a pretty good welterweight, but again, lost three of his last four. And the last time he was really on a big stage, Boots Ennis got rid of him in 3 minutes.
Mm.
So I'm not so sure what to say. Also on this card, Oscar Duarte, who gave Ryan Garcia a little bit of an issue back in December, takes on the old stalwart, Joseph Diaz.
Mm.
So not a bad card in Fresno, at least. And I think Marlon Esparza is also on this card. So that's on the zone. All right, moving on to the Ask Mario segment of the program. Here's one. Let's get into all of this right now. Here's one from Leave the Silo. Where does Garcia's win over Haney rank among the biggest boxing upsets of all time?
You know, it's a pretty big upset because we thought the kid was off his rocker. We thought that he just wasn't going to be well prepared for the fight. If you take the shenanigans out of it, and let's assume he was relatively normal leading up to the fight and was training and we knew about their history, then I would have had it a lot closer, to be honest. So I think it's just because of the circumstances is what made it such a huge upset. We're not talking Andy Ruiz over Anthony Joshua. We're not talking that. Tyson over Douglas. I think it's just because, oh, this kid's lost it. He's in a bad place right now. He's just going to show up for the payday. It was more, I think, that attitude that a lot of people thought. And I think a lot of people were justified in thinking that because some wild stuff that he was putting out there, right? Had you taken that out of it and had he looked like he was just training hard and he was preparing for the fight, he probably still would have been the underdog, but it wouldn't have been a dramatic 11-1 underdog like that.
Here's the thing. It started off, according to my good friend, JP, who knows all these things for entertainment purposes only. And I conferred with him, and he's a real sharp guy. This thing went from minus 500 to 600 to 700 to 800. So the people that rely on this all the way to minus 1100. So all the money kept going. Now, if you were a value player, maybe at a couple hundred bucks, you'd say, okay, Ryan KO. But you're playing the value and the number. But there's no doubt about it. But look, when I saw, look, we love Jim Lampley. But when he says that this upset was bigger than Douglas Tyson, no, Jim.
Well, that's hyperbole. Come on.
Jim, you must have a ball and chain because you're a prisoner of the moment. That thing was 42-1. And here's the difference. Mike Tyson had given no indication of being vulnerable. Haney had more than once.
Oh, a lot.
A lot. Okay,
yes.
So let's be honest. That thing right there will always be, in my view.
And there was a history between them. It's not like the fighters didn't know each other.
Right. And again, I think Haney, he's not Iron Mike Tyson. Here's an interesting one from the next best thing. You guys got called out post-fight press conference. Please respond, LOL.
First of all, I maybe got called out. You definitely
maybe,
got called out.
Maybe, I definitely
out.
Got called out.
That was funny, man.
Oh,
that
my God.
Funny.
All right, so look, I'm actually flattered that you care that much about what we think here. But look at the class I'm in. Chris Algieri, Paulie Malignaggi, and our good friend Tim Bradley. You know what?
And maybe Mario Lopez.
But you know what? I'm the best puncher out of all those four. So that's all I got to say. But here's the thing. Look, we got it wrong, and I will do my job. Look, I'm not a fan of cringe Rye. Whatever happened in the fight, I'm going to give him credit for what happened in the fight. In terms of other things I've said about this mental health campaign, some of the other things that he's done, look, I'm not changing. And here's the thing. I'm going to make this very clear. I don't mind Henry Garcia calling me out. He does not have to like me, and I don't have to like him. But I understand with what I say in our role, we are also targets ourselves. We have to have some thick skin. They don't have to like anything that I say, and they have the right to say F Steve Kim and maybe Mario Lopez. But I feel I did feel guilty. I'm like, oh God,
catching
Mario.
Strays hanging out
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, because I like
I'm
you,
catching
you,
strays.
You're the
well,
nice guy. Yeah, well, you don't
well, here's
deserve
the thing.
That. Maybe
no,
I do.
And look at listen. I always said from the beginning too. Like I said, I always love the fact that. And not to compare him to like an Amir Khan, but one of the things I loved about Amir Khan is no matter what, he came to fight.
Yeah.
It was like walk on a tightrope. He's either going to knock you out or maybe get knocked out himself. He came to fight. I'm not making that comparison, but I am saying the things I do like about Ryan, and I've said it before and I've been consistent, he does come to fight and he can crack a little bit. So had he not had all the shenanigans leading up to it, then I would have been, hey, this is going to be a close fight. Could be a pick'em fight. But just how can you not think that he's going to be distracted with
and
everything that was outside of it?
And I will give Ryan credit. On Saturday, when I woke up and I was working out at 10 Goose, a gym he used to go to once in a while, I was actually saying, you know what? This should be a fun night.
Yeah.
And me and my friends had a great time.
No, it turned out to be a lot of
fun.
But
with that being said, they say, do you regret it? I go, no. He won a fight. He will get credit. He made me look like a fool. But with that being said, look, I'm not here for access. I'm not here to be part of Team Garcia. They have had very harsh feelings towards me for a while. But I'm going to make this very clear. I have not told a lie. I'll go fact for fact on everything. If they want to like confront me and say, Steve, why'd you say this, this, and that? I would say, why wouldn't I? You have to understand, my job is not to be a friend to anybody. And look, I'm an older guy. I'm not going to pretend to be the cool hip guy. No, I'm old now. Look at this hair.
Oh, we can see it.
Yeah, I'm the Raiders now, silver and black.
You're looking like, you know those possums?
Yeah.
Those possums that are like,
look
you're looking
thing.
Like a possum right now, like
and
the one that trash.
Oh my God, he called you out. So
yeah.
What? Look,
yeah.
They don't call out the nobodies and they don't call out people they don't care about. So if you're watching the show to the Garcia family, congratulations, but nothing has changed. We're not friends. We're never going to be friends. We're not going to particularly like each other. And guess what? It's fine.
Listen, I again continue to give him props for bringing the fight and congrats on that fight. And I actually think it is great for the sport.
It is. It is
it's
better
great
for, the sport.
For the sport.
But with that being said, when you do something that I find questionable, like I'm just going to, again, they're going to really call me a POS for this. You can't espouse God and Christianity and go praise Jesus, and then suck my D. Okay. Again, I'm not the one doing that.
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I'm not the fan of that either. Amen. All right, here's a question from Jeff Sarah. They're really going to hate us after. Well, me. Maybe you. Here's
one. Why you keep lumping me? I can judge by the company you keep. Yeah. I'm kicking it with you.
I'm throwing a bullet your way.
Yeah. Here's one from Jeff Zimmerman, a big fan of ours. How do you explain a one-trick pony with the suspect defense, IG fame, party animal, enigma, beating a top 10 pound for pound who had Hall of Fame in his sights? Is there hope for Jake Paul? Mario, I want to make this clear. I never had Haney in my top 10. I thought he lost clearly to Loma last year. Like, so Haney's a good young fighter. But I don't know if this, because this is now a debate. I believe Ryan Garcia is among the top 20 to 25 fighters in the world. He's nowhere near my top 10.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's assume, because he can't make 140 anymore, he's going to fight a welter now. How do you have him fare against the other champions? We've got Boots. We've got... Well, Crawford, if he wants to stay there. Who's the other champ? Is it...
It's a bunch of guys now. Remember, everyone's kind of moved up. Yeah, Errol Spence is no longer there.
Right, yeah. A couple of guys have moved up. So, I mean, maybe he could have some success.
By the way, I love what Ryan said about who he wants to fight next. This is where I do actually find him very amusing. He said, I got a couple names. He goes, Pitbull or Fundura. So I'm like, bro, you went from Muggsy Bogues to Manute Bol.
Yeah, but Fundura's 54. Fundura's 54 and one's 40.
The other guy's in his weight class. Well,
one's 40 and one's 54.
Yeah, the other guy.
So he's not in his weight class.
Right.
Well, he said he can't make 40 anymore.
Well, look, if you want to make that big money, be willing to come to 143.2. Okay, that's for the payday of your life. Here's one from David. Mario, the rumors coming out of Saudi Arabia are that Turki Alsheikh is a boxing fan. He cares about the fans. Is he in it for the long haul? And will he promote with everyone? Fantasy matchups used to be a boring subject. Maybe it's not anymore. Choose three fights you would like to make.
Yeah, I think this guy has been like a savior to the sport as of late. He got together with Dana White the other day, too. I don't know if he's trying to dip his toe in MMA as well. But he was already kind of putting feelers out about not necessarily Canelo Benavidez, which is what we would love to see. But Benavidez, and this is not a bad second alternative, finding the winner of Bivol Beterbiev. I like that. And possibly making Canelo Crawford. Like that too.
Also, Anthony Joshua facing the winner of May 18th between Usyk and Fury.
Love that. Listen, these next 2 months, there's some great, it's great to be a fight fan these next 2 months. But if he's able to make those happen.
Also, Turki Alsheikh, his nickname now is going to be Neil Diamond. You know why? He's coming to America. August 3rd.
That's
Terrence
right.
Crawford's going to fight Israel Madrimov. It looks like Pitbull Cruz is going to fight Ryo Valenzuela.
Mm.
And Andy Ruiz, remember him?
Wow, he's finally coming back?
And it's going to be at your soccer stadium.
Oh, at LAFC?
Yes.
Oh, what's the date on that?
August 3. Mark it off.
Dude, I'm marking it right now.
Yeah, so, and my understanding is from inside sources.
I'm in town. Who's headlining that?
Crawford Madrimov. And so there's going to be other shows the world.
Who's promoting that?
It'll be whatever group that is called.
The Turkey group?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're going to come to America, and they're going to be doing shows internationally. It is not just going to be the Middle East. They are branching out. So whoever, and they also met with the PBC, who still has a large roster of fighters that need fights. So they're going to be working with anyone and anybody.
Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, yeah, no, a friend of mine works with him, believe it or not, out there. And this is a real nice guy.
Yeah.
Young guy. So I would love... August 3rd, it's in the calendar. It's in the calendar, Kim.
Right. And by the way, I love the fact when they asked him, who's your favorite fighters? He said, everyone says Tyson or Ray Leonard. He actually said Duran and Larry Holmes. You are a serious human being.
Yes.
Here's one from Hamed, our good friend there. Can Devin Haney come back from this if he switches trainers? He was having a lot of success under Ben Davidson. Is this a bigger upset than AJ versus Ruiz?
No, it's not a bigger upset than that. And listen, I think Haney, and I know he was killing himself to get to 135. I think 142, he has to really squeeze himself down. But if he goes up to welterweight, there's even guys with heavier hands there. I'm not a fan of firing your dad, maybe adding someone and having a new perspective.
Ben's a respected guy.
I like Ben a lot. I like Ben. So if that can happen again, I think it changes.
You know what the unfortunate reality is when fathers aren't involved, they always cut out the respected trainer for one reason.
Money.
They want to cut costs. And I'm like, wait a minute. So let me ask you something. If any big name trainer, let's say, would have asked for $250,000, and you're like, God, it's a lot of money. What if he would have led you to a victory instead of what you're going through now? Is it worth it?
Of course.
Of course it is. Here's one from our good friend, the only Sanch. Ask that quote-unquote asshole, as Henry Garcia calls him, Mario Lopez. Maybe.
First of all,
maybe.
That's you.
That's me. That's me. POS. Now, how big is Esau Cruz versus Ryan Garcia now? Can they move Canelo off Mexican Independence Day?
No. Ooh. They can't move Canelo, but that is a big fight. That is a big fight, and that's an interesting clash of styles that I'd love to see. Who would you like to see Garcia fight next?
Teofimo Lopez at 140.
That'd be my top fight right there that I'd love to see right there.
Number at 140, one. Though, for a title.
Let me tell you, of course, but yeah. I don't think he's going to be there, and I don't think he's going to be there. And even if it's at 143.2 or whatever the made-up weight is, I still want to see that fight. That is a damn...
Who do you favor?
Damn good fight. I think you have to favor Teofimo because he's a guy that can really crack back. And he's a guy who's both athletic and slick.
And can catch and counter.
Yes.
Yes.
And fast.
And he'll be focused.
He's got fast hands. He's got fast feet. He can catch and counter. He can crack. Look, Haney touched Ryan a couple times. Tio touches Ryan like that.
It's different.
It's a different story.
Right.
It's a different story.
Here's one from Jeff Johnson.
I don't think Tio gets caught with the same shot over and over again.
Well, he'll be focused for this one. Look, as the great Dick Vitale would say, he's a Dow Joneser, baby. He's up and down. But for this one, he'll be up.
For the big fights, he comes through.
Here's one from Jeff Johnson Cards. When Garcia's dad called you guys out, did it have a Joe Pesci feel to it? Kind of gangster until he said, maybe Mario. What was it like to be called out by Tommy DeVito?
Hey, you know what? Thank you for not lumping me in with this degenerate.
He maybe did.
I appreciate it.
You're the nice guilty guy by association. You're the nice guy.
I've been saying nice things.
I know.
I'm just guilty by association over here.
I know.
Dang, I gotta stop hanging out with you.
Exactly. And here's one from Tyrese Bowie. Ask Mario, does he favor Ryan in the rematch? Quit the Mexican hate. It'd be your own people, LOL. GBP set up the Haney's. Brilliantly. Mario, do you think Golden Boy was in on this? I don't.
No, bro.
No.
No. They were not at all. They're probably nervous wreck until the bell sounded, until it the fight actually.
Did you see Oscar's face?
Yes. Yeah. No, he was in that first round. He was thrilled. I do favor Ryan in the rematch. I do.
Power carries.
I think
it carries at any weight.
Not only does the power carry, I think he'll even let his hands go that much more. Which is bad news for Haney. You can't teach a weak chin. And unfortunately...
And you can't fix it.
He does have a suspect chin. So it'd be walking that tightrope, and it'd just be a matter of time before he does eventually catch him with some counter. Because it is boxing. You will get hit. So I think it's just a matter of time. So if I'm Ryan, I want that rematch
immediately,
right away.
Immediately, if you can.
I don't think Haney... Correction. I don't think Haney does it if it's not for 140 on the dot. To which Ryan says he can't make anymore, so then it's a moot point.
Right.
So therefore, I would go back to him. I would love to see a Teofimo fight.
Mario, you talk about the weight. What's worse, blowing off weight by a couple of pounds or exploiting a system where you put on 25 pounds like maybe Haney has been accused of? What's worse?
No, hold on. But Haney's made the weight.
If you make the weight, I'm with you. Then you're
just playing the game.
Right.
Look, I remember back when Leonard fought Hearns, and Hearns was coming in like a half pound over, and... Leonard said no.
Yeah, you have to.
We're calling it off. He's got to make it. So he had to go, and he was killing himself to make. They're trying to negotiate it through money at him, and he said no. That was for half a pound. 3.5 pounds? It does matter.
Different era, though. Keep that in mind.
No, but I'm saying my point is it does matter.
It does matter. Because we have weight limits for a reason.
That's exactly it, or else what the hell do we have weight classes for?
Do you agree with me now, though? Maybe every fight should have a second day weigh-in?
No.
You don't?
I don't agree with you.
Huh.
I agree you either make. Look, had he made 140, this wouldn't be a discussion.
It wouldn't be.
That's my point.
Moving on to final flurries. Mario, you are one of the big wigs now at Bare Knuckle Boxing. What's going on this weekend?
So I'm excited about that. Officially inviting you fools
BKFC.
To come to BKFC this Saturday. here in LA at the Peacock Theater, formerly known as Microsoft. And it's boxing, but exactly what it sounds like.
Chingazos.
Bare knuckles.
Chingazos
with straight knuckles.
Orale.
Started, I believe, back in the UK in the 1800s. And it's just in really fastest growing combat sport right now. We've got ex-pro boxers. We've got MMA fighters. You know who's fighting, dude? Angulo, too. Alfredo Angulo.
Pero.
Pero's fighting right
bark,
there, too.
Bark.
Mike Perry's fighting Thiago Alves. Like, really legit MMA fighters. And they throw some serious chinga. It is bloody. It is gory. And because of the gloves not being there, there's some quick knockouts, too. And people are getting carved up. It is, it's a good time. It's a good time. So I will be there hosting the event. It's the first time it's ever been in L.A., so I think it's going to be a big Ooh. Party. So check it out
Chingazos.
If you're in the L.A. area.
Wow.
Serious Chingazos.
BKFC at the Peacock Theater at L.A. Live.
That's
Mario,
right.
Were you hibernating in San Diego this weekend? What was going on?
So if the fight was in Vegas, I would have buzzed out there.
Yeah.
But I had to actually work in San Diego for a minute. And I got to see mom and dad and everything. But because I've been going 100 miles an hour since Chicago, the wife and I got in a hotel. We didn't stay at my mom and dad's because they'll keep us up and all that. We said, let's just crash out. Bro, we went to bed before 11 p.m. because we went and had some dinner, some drinks and stuff. And then we went to bed. It must have been like 10:40. We woke up at 9, okay? Hold on, 9, which would have been an amazing sleep right there. I said, come on, honey. I thought we were, let's really go back to sleep. I cranked the AC up to like 66. It was pitch dark. We went back to bed. Bro, we didn't get up till after 1.
What?
I haven't slept in that much since I was like a teenager. I couldn't believe. Sometimes your body needs to just shut down. I couldn't. And guess what? I could have kept sleeping, except I had to be at the event. So what's the math on that? But 11, 12, 12. Damn, that's like 13 hours.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
No.
No, is it more?
That's 14. Like 14 or 15.
Dude, 14 or 15 hours. We'll put it this way. I had to get up to go to the bathroom. I remember vividly 3 times, but I went right back to sleep. That's pretty damn good. No, my wife, we got up feeling amazing today.
Wow.
When was the last time you really shut it down? And what's the longest amount of sleep you've gone to? Can you believe that? But sometimes you need to. Sometimes you need to. But you make it crazy cold and really dark, you can really shut it down.
One of my first year at ESPN, I'd come back from the Mikey Garcia-Errol Spence fight.
Oh, I remember that.
And they asked me on that Sunday to cover the top rank card at the theater of Madison Square Garden with Michael Conlon. And by the last fight, because I had traveled back from Texas to L.A., and I'm wavering, so I write up the fight report.
You're on fumes.
Yeah, I'm really on fumes. I probably got to bed around 9 o'clock. I woke up at about 9:30. That was a good 12 and a half hours.
Dude, and that's good, dude.
I mean, and you could, I'm just telling you, you actually wake up so refreshed. But you're kind of tired.
Yes, you're refreshed, but you're tired.
But
you're right. No, you got
to
have key is you got to have. I went to Dunkin' and I got a big ass thing of coffee, and then I was feeling good.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get over. But the next day, I was like, oh my God, I feel amazing. I can't remember the last time I've ever, like, I shut it down. That was a good slumber.
Well, Mike, Mario, do you ever, with your schedule, because you're a lot busier than that, do you ever take a nap?
I love naps. You know, we've had this discussion. I'm a big, big fan of naps.
But can you, though?
Yeah, oh yeah, I could shut it down. 10, 15 minutes, can you?
Oh, yes, I take one every day.
I could shut it down. See, I take one every day. The schedule is unpredictable.
Right.
But when I do know I'm going to have a period, I will go in the office, make it dark, shut it down a good 20 minutes. I don't like to take naps if they're less.
They have to be.
I have taken a 10-minute nap.
Those are borderline.
Have
to be 20 to 30.
They got
to
be 20 to 30.
That's
10 minutes, you feel like a little bit, it's almost like a tease, but a 20 to 31, you're like a new man.
When I'm at the office reading whatever book I am at the moment, if it's 40 minutes, when I wake up, it takes me about 15 minutes to get my bearings.
Do you set an alarm or do you just...
I freestyle. I'm Lisa, Stevie B.
I can't freestyle. I gotta set an alarm. Oh, dude, I'll sleep forever.
Yeah.
I'll sleep forever.
By the way, great workout that I'm doing. I'd recommend for everybody because my knees are shot. I think I have arthritis, which is okay.
Oh, God.
But
dude, gray hair, shot knees.
Look at all this. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
The Mike Tyson push-ups. What a workout.
What the hell's a Mike Tyson push-ups?
He actually did it in jail to stay in shape. It's like where you put your heels against the wall and you turn it into like a squat and into a push-up. I'll send you videos. Someone on Twitter said...
I don't plan on going to jail, but... Okay.
Yeah, but that's... If you go on YouTube and you put in Mike Tyson push-up, there's like 1,000 videos about how to do intervals and sets.
And you could just do it now and show
us. What's up?
When I went to the Teofimo Lopez fight, this is where I knew I'd officially turned old, even though I look great. The Mandalay Bay Fitness Center had some free weights. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do free weights. I usually do the bands now. They actually went up to like 65 pounds. So I was doing like incline presses, flat bench, 65 sets of 20.
Get you beast.
I'm
going to
rip it out. Mario, that soreness lasted for 2 weeks.
Damn.
And I just, every day, I'd be like, okay, that's it. I'm never touching a free weight. So finally on Twitter, some guy talked about the Mike Tyson push-up, how it's changed my life, and it's all I do now. Because you could do it every day. I do it about 4 days a week. I'm not going to lie to you. You start doing the timed intervals, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds, and you do it for like 15 minutes, although I break it up. I sweat like nobody's business.
Huh.
Yeah, Mike Tyson push-ups. Look
Mike
it up.
Mike Tyson push-ups.
Endorsed right. by Steve Kim.
Sorry, yeah. What does that have to do with naps?
Naps.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No. Every time I do it, those days, by about 2:30, 3 o'clock,
you gotta take a nap.
I'm ready to take a nap. It goes in perfectly.
What do you go? 7-8 hours a night? What do you get usually a night?
I get about 5 to 6.
5 to 6? Yeah. Why so little?
Because generally, I learned this. If you get the same amount of sleep every night, you can live with less than 8. And I get about 5 to 6.
Why wouldn't you just get 8, though? You ain't that busy.
Because here's the thing. No, you're right. I'm not.
I don't understand why you just get 8.
That's priceless. But I generally get to sleep around 1-ish.
Fuck.
Right. And then...
1? Who stays up till 1? What are you watching? The Late Late Show? Or what
no,
are you doing?
I'm doing research, reading, or, you know, watching shows.
So now I know if I can't sleep, I'm going to call your ass.
Yeah, I'm just going
to... time I go to bed?
And
dude?
I'm going
to
hit the red button. Trust me on that one. I'll put you on hold.
Dude, I'm by 10 o'clock.
I know
you're
that's
I'm
why
already,
I...
Yeah,
I we,
but I'm up at 6 every
I've
day.
Never,
you're not up at 6.
You want to... Yes, this is such a lie,
you're
Tim.
Such a liar,
Tim,
face. You with your 5 hours of sleep.
No
wonder you're gray because you're fucking getting 5 hours of sleep.
Okay, you're gray too. You're just doing Earl Shine.
Right,
so here's the thing. So I generally wake up without a stop without an alarm clock around 6:15. You just get used to it. Yeah. Like, I've never, like, when, now look.
That changed because you used to be used to sleep until like 10.
A lot,
or
but.
You used to sleep until like
Lamori,
10 or
what,
that.
The biggest change that I've made from the pandemic that has actually been very beneficial is, and I've researched this a little bit, and I asked our good friend Victor Conte about it. Working out in the early morning on an empty stomach actually gives you more energy throughout the day.
That's my move.
Yeah.
I get it.
It does.
It does, and not only that. You get it out of the way. The rest of the day is easier.
But you
That's
feel
all
better.
I do now. You feel way better.
The most
better.
Sluggish days that I have where I'm just dragging ass.
You know what I do?
When I don't work out.
I have coffee or I have an energy drink too.
Right. Well, see, I don't drink coffee at all.
Why?
I just drink Expedite Snack. Snack.com.
Oh, okay, so you drink
and I'm good.
You don't like coffee, dude?
I don't like coffee, no.
What's the matter with you?
I'm a
straight.
Yeah,
you don't like coffee either? You guys don't want the case?
Tim, you
Damn.
Are a serious human being.
Wow. Yeah. I'm working with kids
the
here.
The other thing is...
I don't drink coffee, and I wake up naturally at 5 a.m. every day.
Mario, here's the problem with coffee. When you're so dependent on it, when you don't have it, you're in the dumps.
Can I tell you what it is? It's not even that. I like the way it tastes.
Really?
I even get coffee ice cream. I get coffee chocolate chip ice cream. I like it, the taste. I like the smell. I like the taste.
I've heard
I love coffee.
I've heard the most healthy...
Not even for that, because I can have energy. Right. I just actually like the taste.
But I've heard the most healthy version of coffee is just having it black and cold.
Yeah.
That the brewing
I now drink iced coffee. I'm a big iced coffee because I want to...
Okay. But I'm just saying, Mike Tyson push-ups early in the morning on an empty stomach with snack products, Expedite, Aerobatine, Vitalize.
Dude, we're talking about naps.
This is what we do.
We're talking about... God damn, dude.
You know,
are we fucking old?
You know,
are we...
You know, you're maybe a piece of shit. I am.
We're
full service here.
I'm not lumped in with you, no.
All right, well, that's it for this week's edition of The 3 Knockdown Rule, brought to you by Hustler Casino on behalf of Smokin' Tim Frazier and Tino on the edits, and of course, Mario Lopez. We'll be back next week with more.